Welcome to Now You Know. Today you will be hearing Catherine interviewing Dr. Winnie Kiru. Winnie is a well-known wildlife biologist who has been working to protect Kenya's wildlife for the last 20 years. She also previously served as a regional representative of the UK-based charity, Born Free Foundation, and as a trustee of Kenya Wildlife Service.
Winnie, it is such a privilege to speak with you today. Thank you so much for doing the interview with me. My partner, Jen, and I are truly just such longtime admirers of your work. I read your paper, The Sad State of Captive Elephants in Canada, many, many years ago, and it stuck with me as just one of the most powerful, impactful, seminal papers on wildlife in captivity. So thank you so much for doing that.
Well, thank you. I must say that I was surprised when I came to Canada. Some of the facilities we visited were so not what I expected. And I mean, some of them, you could see a lot of effort. It really made me realize how much work you guys had to do, because there seemed to be a total blackout from a large population in Canada about what was actually going on.
As you know, the Toronto Zoo had the elephants moved to sanctuary. I believe there was another zoo in, I think it was the Calgary Zoo as well, the elephants were moved to sanctuary. And currently, I believe there's a couple of zoos in Quebec that still have elephants. And the most notorious, we have poor sad Lucy there in the Edmonton Valley Zoo. That's a very sad.
Still there,
all alone. And Zoo Check is still trying. All that work, and it's a bit of a litigation nightmare, but they have not been able to help poor Lucy. She's alone. I think the public is now very much aware that, you know, these are far-ranging, incredibly, you know, intelligent social animals that do not belong in Canadian zoos, and that's largely attributed to your work and your effort. So thank you.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. It's very good progress indeed.
It's actually fascinating for me to hear you speak about this, because I've never been to Africa. I grew up in Toronto, and I grew up being taken to the Toronto Zoo and being taken to look at the elephants. And to me, that was the normal way to see elephants. That's what was natural. That's where you saw an elephant, and in that environment.
You know what? The whole argument that this is important for education falls flat on the face when you realize that you're exposing innocent children to a completely wrong situation.
Yes, it's a form of miseducation, absolutely, negative education.
Yeah, that child would be much better off if they never ever saw an elephant. It would be just fine. They can watch National Geographic films, they can save their whole lives to get to a place where they can actually see elephants doing what elephants do. But to give them the fake sense that you've shown them what an elephant is by showing them an elephant that is living way, way below their natural beauty, grace, and it's just wrong. And yet, you know, they start thinking that education is what matters. Elephants should be wild. Leave them in the wild.
So Winnie, can you explain a little bit for us why elephants are particularly ill-suited to captivity?
Okay, there are many, many things I could say. First of all, you know, elephants have evolved. They've been with us for millions of years. And in that time, the elephant has evolved physiologically, socially, you know, in terms of the way they behave, their physiological needs, their ecological needs. They've evolved to exist in a wide range of climates, habitats, from deserts to mountains, the variable savannas where the seasons change all the time. There's rainfall, there's food, the food moves, you know, they have to follow the food. So they've evolved a complex set of adaptations that allow them to survive for easily 70 years through this very complex habitat, it is unimaginable that one would take such an intelligent and complex being and put it in a little enclosure and hope to stimulate that big brain, that big need for social bonds and the very interesting behaviors that they exhibit. To lock that potential in a room, it's criminal. There's no other way of describing it.
Is that why elephants do particularly poorly or particularly ill-suited for Canadian zoos because of climate issues and they have to spend more time indoors?
Climate is just one of them. I mean, if you think about where elephants are naturally found now in many areas across Africa, these are places that enjoy, you know, seasons of mostly, you know, very reasonably good temperatures. Now, you put an elephant in Quebec where you get sub-zero temperatures for a good time of the year. And, you know, even if you're talking about a temperature of 10 degrees, it's still pretty cold for an elephant. And so you're thinking this animal that is best adapted for climatic zones that are fairly tropical is now put in a place where the temperatures dip quite badly. There's snow, there's ice, the elephant is not moving. And what the result is that they tend to suffer serious problems with their feet because elephants are adapted to keep moving. That is why they have a foot pad that grows constantly, because as they move from place to place, the foot pad is slowly wearing away. And we know, observing them, for instance, in Amboseli, that they can move up to 40 kilometers in a day. Average movement is about 25 kilometers. But really, on a bad day, an elephant can walk 200 kilometers. So you can imagine they're adapted to walk so that they can find food, they can find mates, they can find water, they can protect the herd. And so when you put them in this environment, first of all, where the temperatures are so low, they can't move enough. And so they tend to get all these problems with foot pads, and they're constantly needing to be cut off and trimmed. And then, of course, they get a lot of diseases between their toes. I've seen some horrible. Yes, indeed. When you put them in those environments, you are completely disregarding their adaptations to the wild, where they are adapted to move constantly in search of food, in search of mate, in search of their social groups. And this is why they are always sick.
And Winnie, can I ask you, how do elephants do emotionally in captivity? It seems that they're not in captivity, at least in Canada. The elephants that do have company often are not even with blood relatives. It seems that they're not with nearly enough elephants. What is the emotional impact, the psychological impact on elephants from those situations?
I've had the privilege of really not just watching elephant families, but knowing elephant families, because a lot of my study life has been in Amboseli National Park, which hosts the longest studied population of elephants. These are elephants that are individually known. So I can tell you that this family belongs, this is the matriarch, and these are the daughters, these are all the female offspring, these are the young. And I can see those elephants on a regular basis through different seasons of life. And I see how the matriarch leads the family group through the daily fluctuations, you know, day and night, the seasonal fluctuations, lifetime events like matings. And just watch the social group, you know, the matriarch leading her daughter to choose the right male, and seeing how that core family unit participates in all these cycles of life, the mating. And I believe that even when they are birds and dead, what I loved is elephants exhibiting family behavior. To put that animal in a place where nothing is familiar, no one is familiar, and somehow expect them to thrive is a bit odd. And that explains why, for instance, rate of breeding in those captive breeding facilities is very low. And also something very odd that you would never see in the wild. There are many recorded instances where a female gives birth to a calf and then rejects the calf. That only happens in captive situations. In the wild, elephant mothers will kill you if you get in between them and their calves. So that aggression, that kind of very odd behavior is only because this elephant is traumatized, has been torn away. We see all the time mothers trying to literally train their daughters how to breastfeed. Here is a female, gets a baby, doesn't have any support, if you want to call it support, and somehow is supposed to know what to do with a baby. While in real elephant society, you're never alone.
What is your advice to Canadian parents and just Canadians generally then, if they want to teach their children about elephants? What do you believe is the best thing we can do to help elephants here in Canada and all over the world?
I want to say that every Canadian parent should have the courage to say that this is not right. Taking children to the zoo to see elephants is not right. The fact that it has been done over and over and over, their parents took them, the grandparents took them, they did what they thought was right. Now there's so much information. We know so much more about elephants than your grandparents knew, than their parents knew, that the courage to change is what is required. And then once that the families, the parents make that decision, it means they can now form that movement, which will cost the government to make the laws that would eventually lead to the closure elephants need. It may take 10 years, it may take 20 years, but if the change begins at family level, it will multiply, the movement will grow, and those who do not have the courage or the knowledge to change will have no choice but to join the movement. So one day, elephants will thank Canada because there is a growing swell of people that have said, if it's not right, it's not right. Enough is enough.
You just gave me chills saying that. That's really amazing to hear, and I think very important. So to hear you say that is very inspiring and important, that sometimes we just need to change our behavior in order to truly help conservation, to truly help animal welfare.
And it takes courage, I know. It takes brave families and education. You just need to explain to your child that, yes, it is true that if you went to Grandpa, they'll probably take you to the zoo. But I won't, because now I know, whether I heard it from Winnie or I read it in a book or I saw it on TV, I know that elephants don't belong. And as long as we keep visiting and the zoo keeps collecting money and the zoo keeps conning us and we agree to be conned, this will go on forever. And a lot of social change has happened because some brave people said, sorry.
Winnie, it's been such an honor to speak with you today. I really appreciate you giving your time. Thank you so much for teaching us all about elephants and how we can help.
Thank you very much, Kathy. It's very nice talking to you.
So Jen, what did you think of the interview with Winnie?
I mean, elephants is always one of my favorites with cetaceans. So I think elephants are one of these creatures that, you know, a lot of us that are kind of more nuanced about captivity think that, you know, when I see an elephant, especially here in Canada, and Winnie did mention it, especially in Quebec where temperatures get really, really cold, I always wonder, like, what are you doing here? And I always thought it was really strange that no one else would ask themselves that question. It's like, oh, an elephant. I'm like, yes, in Quebec, where it gets really cold.
And that's really funny. Did you always feel that way? Because as I mentioned to her in the interview, I kind of had the opposite. So as a child, like for me, it was totally natural and normal. That's the place that you saw an elephant in a Canadian zoo. That's where I saw elephants. So to me, elephants belonged in Canadian zoos. And to me, as I was taken there and all the adults are, you know, like showing us this as an example of what's okay. Yeah, that's how I felt about it, that it was very normalized. But as Winnie said, it's a false sense of an elephant. And I think we're getting that same message from our different experts over and over, whether it's polar bears, whether it's orcas, whether it's elephants in captivity. This is a false sense of seeing the species when you go to a captive facility and you see them in captivity. You're not actually seeing a wild elephant. And the other thing is, as Winnie said, that's essentially locking their potential in a room, and it discounts all of the animal welfare problems associated with that, because it's not just about preserving the species for humans to say, okay, we still have, you know, Asian elephants in the world. It's about the quality of life of those animals. And you know what really struck me? It was so profound in our discussion about cetaceans in captivity when you described a network and what a network is. I thought that was brilliant. And I have been to lecture after lecture after lecture on cetaceans in captivity. And the way you phrase that, I think, is just pivotal for people to understand. You made me understand it in a whole way. So, but when we see these elephants, it's the same as what you were describing with orcas. They are thrown together. They're not with their natural social groups, biological family groups that they would be in the wild. And so you start running into all kinds of problems that Winnie was emphasizing, such as low breeding rates, low survival rates of babies, high rates of aggression, rates of mothers rejecting calves, which is something unheard of in their natural environments. So it's just impossible to create, and not impossible, she did say certain places can do it properly, but in terms of meeting all of those natural needs that they would have in a healthy, thriving, natural wild habitat, it's impossible to that degree provide an enriching, appropriate living environment for them. For these species, so the main species that, you know, a lot of scientists talk about now that zoos are coming on board with kind of trying to end the programs for these species are the wide-ranging, deep-diving, highly social animals. So a lot of them are large land animals. So we've got, you know, polar bears, elephants, whales and dolphins, apes, certain species that, you know, just unilaterally across the board, experts seem to be in agreement, and, you know, very well-run zoos are getting on board with that too. These animals, we already know, don't suit captivity just for physical needs, emotional needs, that sort of thing. So I think for our message for this one, it's pretty much a similar message that we've had from talking to experts about whales. But I mean, I think let's be direct and frank with this. Elephants do not belong in captivity. Elephants do not belong in zoos. What about that as our message?
I think it's a very clear message, and they actually don't. They don't belong in zoos, and even less so. And right now I'm looking at Canada more than any other country.
Do not belong in Canadian zoos, certainly. So
yeah,
I think one thing I'd like to emphasize as well, when Winnie was speaking in our interview, she said something that really struck me. She said, parents in Canada, because I was saying, what should Canadians do here? Because we know now how awful the situation is for any elephant in our country. It's just too cold of a climate. It's just not an appropriate place for elephants. And she said, parents should have the courage to not take their kids to the zoo to see elephants. It's really, really difficult to change habitual behaviors. And we were taken to the zoo, and I have my daughter, and I can understand how tempting, because she says, Mommy, I love animals. I want to go see animals. But what it takes the courage to change our habits. But I think hopefully now that you know, which is the premise of our show, now that you've heard an expert speak on this, now that you know some facts about elephants, the message really is clear. Elephants do not belong in zoos. What public personality are we going to try to get to tweet out our message this time, or help us, or give us a shout out?
So I think everyone knows her, literally, even me, who is like the worst person to know, just public figures. And everyone knows she loves animals. So I think we should just go with her. She's very charismatic. Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres. Oh my God. Yeah, she'd be perfect. I mean, she's a comedian. She's an actress. She's a TV host. She's a writer. She's a producer. She's like so philanthropic and has done a lot to help all kinds of humanitarian and animal causes.
She's a big time, like she does great apes, she does elephants, she's like, she's amazing.
So, okay, so we're going to take this message over to Ellen. Don't know what our odds are of reaching her, but we're going to go for it.
They're probably close to zero, but let's just try.